All right. You know what? He's here early, Buck.
Let's get him.
We'll get to our NBA Finals conversation a little bit later, but this guy's always on time. True athlete, and now a true coach. The pitching coach of the Galveston Sand Crabs. I was actually watching. I found their stream online yesterday, watching a little Sand Crabs baseball at Ball High on the island. The great, legendary, lifetime Longhorn and World Series champion, Greg Swindell, joining us here as he does each and every Monday during baseball season. Zeke, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good. Yeah, good thing you didn't tune in Friday night to those Sand Crabs.
Did you get thrown out?
They didn't throw you out, did they?
No, they didn't throw me out, but we didn't throw any strikes either. It was a rough one Friday. We hit 10 and walked 12. That was rough. So yesterday was a good makeup game. We had a doubleheader, won them both. So back on top at 3-2, and hopefully back on the good side, and head to Pearland tonight to play the Cobblers. Pearland Cobblers.
I like that. Are we talking about shoe or peach cobblers?
Yeah, I need to find out what exactly. They might be shoeing them. They might be eating them. I don't know. So they ate us up. They ate us up 3-2 in our home opener. So we'll try to return the favor tonight.
A little revenge tonight. I love it. Well,
did you have fun? Was that fun on Friday?
Oh my God. I mean, some of them might be watching, but I've told them the same thing. That wasn't fun to watch.
No.
It was long. It was hot. The bus didn't show up until like 30 minutes for game time because it was late getting out of Galveston and having to go through Houston. So just wasn't a good day all around on Friday for the Sand Crabs.
Hey, my man, you're on island time now. Everything's late down there.
I'm chill all the time. So
there you go. Always. That we do know. Well, hey, Texas baseball, the Longhorns going back to Omaha for the 39th time in program history. They end their drought. Texas getting back there for the first time since 2022. So much to dive into from the last couple of days, but I'll kind of give you the floor here, Zeke, and just sort of your biggest takeaway from Texas being able to sweep a very talented Oregon team in the Austin Super Regional.
That was it. Again, you see the Oregon going with their number two. I mean, the first start, it's almost like you're conceding against the Dylan Volantis, and it hurt them. I mean, Texas jumped out and never looked back. So, I don't know. And then the second game, they jumped out on the race with a couple of home runs back-to-back, which kind of set the tone. But credit Oregon for coming back in that game. It was a huge – I think when the burn switch was odd to me, but I think that's eventually what won the game for him in game two, because he was able to hold them there and then hold them the next inning, and Texas able to come back and take the lead. And Cozart, wow, he was back. He's back to being himself. And I mean, that was just a dominant performance by him and pretty much a dominant performance by Texas over a very good Oregon team. And as Sloss said, it's a shame that two of those teams had to get hooked up in a super regional, because both of them are deserving to be in Omaha. Both of them are good teams, but you can't match being there for the 39th time. People talk about it. I think if you add up all the other teams, it won't even equal 39. So Texas, it won't, because two of the teams is the first time.
Yeah.
And they're playing each other. So,
yeah. What do you think that does for a team? Some would say, wait a minute, if you looked at the score, it was pretty easy game one. You know, the numbers, the second game was not all that easy. But does this just strengthen your ability when you play against a team like Oregon? I mean, because you're not cruising. I don't think you're cruising in Omaha. I think that's a hard-fought two games. No matter how you look at it, it just looked like you came to play. You kept your cool, you kept your poise, but you kept your intensity throughout the entire game. Both games, you had to keep your intensity. So, I mean, that bodes well for Texas, does it not?
Oh, that's the biggest thing. I mean, postseason college baseball's, as our old coaches say, winning's hard. Winning's hard, and especially in the postseason, especially in the super regional, because either they're a great team or they're a hot team. We've heard Sloss say that. We've heard a lot of people say that. And Oregon was both. And Texas, you couldn't let your guard down. You thought the second game was going to be another blowout. It was 4-0, and then Oregon just kept fighting back, not doing too much and got themselves in the lead. So, yeah, it's only going to help. Going through the SEC grind helps you to this point. That Super Regional is going to help them in Omaha because they got a tough opponent.
Georgia. Oh, yeah.
Georgia's pretty good. So enjoy it for a couple days, but get ready because it'll be the time of their lives. I'm happy for them. It's been, I mean, a lot of schools would be like, wow, we're two that have never been to Omaha, and we're panicking because we haven't been in 4 years. So it's like, man, it does. It feels good to be back. It's going to feel good to see Texas in Omaha, and hopefully they perform like they did this weekend, because if they do, they got a really good chance of winning the whole thing.
Amen. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here on Bucky and BK. You mentioned Sam Cozart and the job he did last night. I mean, I feel like that's supposed to be maybe the most difficult thing for a pitcher to do in college baseball, right? Getting the last three, I guess in Cozart's case last night, the last six outs to send your team to Omaha, and he made it look easy. Six up, six down, four strikeouts, didn't allow a ball to leave the infield. I mean, I know we've asked you about him before this year, but for this freshman to continue to do what he's done all season long, pretty freaking ridiculous what he's putting out, isn't it?
He lives for that moment, lives for the big moment. I mean, yeah, last week didn't go too well for him, but he only gave up one run, gave up five hits, but only gave up one run in his outing last week. Probably couldn't wait to get back out there. So, the guy was, I mean, no pun intended, but that was a man against boys. And Oregon looked like men too. But It was a great performance, a really needed performance for Texas. If he doesn't do that, I mean, they're playing tonight. So it's great to see. Again, we can talk about that all day long. I love talking about Sam Cozart and the pitching. I just like talking about that 39th trip. I mean, I want to keep saying that. So people listening, people watching, it's kind of a recruiting thing. You want to get to Omaha. It's been 79 and Texas has been in 39. So that's something to say right there. And it's where we belong. And hopefully again, you want to play well there. And I really do think that this team has what it takes to get to the championship series and win it.
Definitely. Your thoughts, Zeke? You know, I don't think Texas will have to deal with this in Omaha, but it's very hot, very humid. I mean, some of your pitchers are going through this now, pitching in the Houston, Galveston areas, I'm sure. But, you know, Schloss talked about it a little bit after game one. Like, Dylan Volantis got into a lot of jams. To his credit, he got out of most of those jams, but four walks, four wild pitches, just a little uncharacteristically wild. Ruger Riojas last night, four walks, a little uncharacteristically wild. Obviously, you're playing a great team and the pressure is what it is, but how much tougher is it? Maybe the ball is a little moist. Like when you're playing in that kind of heat and that kind of weather, does that make it tougher for all of these pitchers in games like this?
It does. Sometimes you got to go to that rosin bag, got to go to the dirt, you got to try to stay dry somehow. But when you're out there in the middle of the field, it's hard to stay dry. I've been there. I've been caked in rosin up and down my pants, my hat, my hands, my other hand, my glove hand, just everywhere, just trying to stay dry. And it is. And you look at it, those two did not have their best games, Riojas and Volantis, and you still beat a top team. So if they can get to Omaha, weather can change in a second in Omaha, even worse than in Texas. There's storms that come through. And it can get 50 degrees or it can be 100 degrees. Hopefully the wind's blown in from the north because it plays a big stadium. But the humidity, it can be a problem, but probably won't be as bad as what they went through this weekend. So look at it that way. And you know what you can do, what you can't do out there. And just got to try to stay dry. And I think these guys will understand that. And it's exciting. I'm excited for them and excited for them to play the dogs. We owe the dogs a couple in every sport. In every sport.
When you get to this part of the season and you get to Omaha, the aggression that the Horns went after in the batter's box, I thought, on Friday, and especially Friday, you know, and they did the same on Saturday. Boy, they weren't going up there looking for walks. They were looking for balls because it came over the plate to hit, and they were going to make you feel the ball. And that was a pretty good Oregon team when it came to defense. But boy, they threw some strikes down early in those first two innings, They weren't trying to paint corners. They were trying to put it, they were trying to get into their groove too. And the Longhorn batters were just waiting for it. They just sat back and waited for strikes. Now, the second inning, they started to struggle a little bit in both games for Oregon. But when you come up those that first inning at this level and your team is in the super regional, generally you're going to get pitching that brings it, that's going to try to get their pitches to throw strikes. And boy, did the batters look for it. They were looking for strikes, and they got them for both games, really.
Yeah, the deeper you get in postseason, the better pitching you're going to face.
Yeah.
They're going to throw more strikes. And Schloss knows that. He's been there, what, seven out of the last, I don't know, nine times in Omaha. So knows what he's doing. The staff knows what they're doing. The pitchers are going to throw strikes. Still got to hit it. Still got to hit it and put it in play. And Texas did a really good job of that. And a lot of times the saying is, if you can get the good ones early and not let them get settled in, that you're going to have the advantage. And that's what Texas did this weekend, jumped on them early.
We went dark.
We're back. And, get that starter out of the game and get in the bullpen early. Texas was able to do that yesterday. But it's, sometimes it's good for other teams to see that now, because now they're like, well, they're not taking too many first pitches. Now they're swinging, right. So we got to be careful. And it's a strategy. And the guys, they won game one decisively, and your top two didn't even get a hit.
Yeah.
Robbins and Tenney didn't even get a hit, but then they came out last night and said, well, we can hit. We're going back to back. Here we go. And kind of set the tone for that. But yeah, it's exciting baseball. The hard part's over. I always say that the hard part is getting to Omaha. And now you go there, have fun. And when you have fun, you play loose and you win.
Yeah, sort of a strategy question. Legendary lifetime Longhorn and World Series champion Greg Swindell joining us here on Bucky and BK. We all expect Dylan Volantis to get the ball against Georgia in game one up there. But, you know, in back-to-back weekend, Zeke, we've seen Luke Harrison come out of the bullpen in big spots and get big outs for Texas. Obviously, he started every weekend during the regular season. He did start a game in the regional, and he would have started today if Texas was playing today. But do you think, like, Luke Harrison out of the bullpen is something we should and something maybe we're going to see in the College World Series?
Definitely. Because you win, you get a day off and then play again. So you get rest. He's going to have rest in between games. If Texas keeps winning, then I think if you lose your second game, you got to play the next day. But you're going to have days off if you win. And that can only be a plus for Texas and for Luke Harrison. And I think, like I said, the Riojas and Volantis did not have their best games. They get to Omaha, have good games, and you might not need a Luke Harrison. Then you have that extra starter. So days off are good because in Omaha, especially, because that means you're winning. And in 1984, I pitched game one. We won and then had a rain out, so we had like 3 days off. So I came back and pitched game two as well in Omaha. And wow. End up getting three starts then. So you never know. The weather can help you out and give your pitchers rest up there.
That was your freshman year too, right? 84?
Was it freshman? One of those years. I remember I had six starts in 2 years in Omaha.
That's incredible. The game has changed a little bit, sir. They don't make them like you.
So I'm loose. I've been throwing. I'll be up there. I'll come out of the pen. I don't care.
There you go.
We could use you for a couple of outs. I still trust you in big spots.
I got some more numbers I need to add on up there in Omaha.
There you go.
Improve the stats a little bit. Well, Z, congrats to you, man. I mean, obviously you've been a big part of this program for a long time. We know you support. We know you care a lot about something like this. And we know the standard of Texas. It's to get number seven. It's to win another national championship. But I know a cool moment for you and the other alumni for Texas to get back to Omaha. And, man, hopefully this team – you said it earlier. You feel like this team, if they play the way that they have through these first two weekends of the postseason, you think they're good enough to dogpile at the end of this thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hoist that trophy. Light the tower again. Put the one in it. It's just a great time to be a Longhorn. I mean, all sports. We're just winning. Chris Del Conte's done a great job. The coaching's – in every sport has done a great job. I'm happy that my sport is doing well, yes, but I'm happier more for that T on your hat and the color of my shirt and the Longhorn on Bucky's hat. So the burnt orange is fun. I got my burnt orange Vans on. I'm going to wear them to pregame today.
Just there you go.
Kind of show them around, flaunt it a little bit. I don't talk too much, but I can talk now. I mean, we made it to Omaha. We can do it. Players always give me the horns down. I go, I like you, kid. I like you, but this is the only time you're going to pitch. Right. You're not pitching again this summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you again. Well, Zeke, thanks so much for the time,
man.
Best of luck with the rest of the season. I mean, we'll chop it up next week after game one of the College World Series. But thanks for joining us, and good luck with the games this week.
We got 37 more, 36 more. We got to grind that down here in Galveston too. So yeah, we'll be watching as much as we can. Our games are at 7, so I have my phone in my pocket for, and I tell them it's for my hearing and cochlear.
Ah.
But I can also hear Craig Way and Zonk in this ear.
That's a true fan right there.
Don't tell anybody that.
Yeah, all right,
no one's going to know. No one's going to know. Zeke, thanks for the time,
thanks,
man. Really
Greg,
appreciate it,
man. Thank you.
All right,
there he goes. The legendary lifetime Longhorn, Greg Swindell, kind enough to join us each and every Monday during Texas baseball season. And thankfully, we're still having conversations with Zeke, because that obviously
means
the Longhorns are still playing baseball. So, he brought it up a few times. Like, they take pride in getting to Omaha and the fact that Texas is going for the 39th time in 79 total men's college World Series. Tremendous accomplishment. Just shows what Texas baseball is all about. And, I mean, I agree with Zeke. They've got a real shot. It's not going to be easy. And the team they're playing in their first game is maybe the best team that's still left. But if they play the way that they have in the last two weekends, Buck, they've got a legit shot.
Oh, yeah. If they stay aggressive at the plate, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. With Dylan Volantis, I know Georgia's offense is scary good, but we got a pretty scary good pitcher taking the hill for that first game. So you'd love to set the tone, start with the win, and we could get a Texas OU 1-0 game in Omaha. How fun would that be? Yeah, Longhorns and the Sooners on the same side of the bracket. We could get an elimination game between the two teams, which we don't want that. We definitely don't want that. But there's a pretty good chance they meet up at TD Ameritrade Park. So, about that.
Wow.
Love it. All right, we will take your thoughts. Good Texas baseball conversation with the legend, Greg Swindell. We will get to some NBA finals here in a moment. But before we do, Buck, how about another quick round of sponsor shout-outs?
I don't know. Did I get them all? Did I get relaxed back? I got them. I've got.
You're sleeping on your guy, Matt King. He's only riding 2,000 miles around the country.
Yeah, of course. Matt King. Where are we at now? Where are we at in Matt King's journey for 2,000 miles across this country, as a matter of fact?
He may be done.
No way. Oh, no. He's got more riding to do.
No, he's done.
He is done?
Unless he's riding back.
Congratulations to Matt
King. I figured he was going to fly back, from Canada. I didn't think he was going 2,000 miles up and then 2,000 miles down.
I don't think he's doing that, folks. I think he's just going to 2,000 miles. From, of course, from Mexico to Canada. He's not going to attempt to come back. Maybe next time he does that, but I want to congratulate Matt if he's done for sure, and thank him for what he's done. A great job in directing $1 million to communities throughout his ride. That's an incredible feat by anybody. And our very own Matt King has done that. And if you still want to give, please, to the Ride Project, just in case he's not done, if he's got some small hamlet to go through, and he may want to help out some folks. Believe me, he's giving it all away. He's not bringing any of it back. There's nothing for him to hold back. He's trying to gather $1 million. And if he didn't get quite $1 million, whatever he had, he was getting rid of. And we want to thank him for doing that. And you can still continue to support therideproject.com. Because I got a feeling that with this dude, this may be his first ride, but it's not going to be his last.
If you can do it once, you can do something like this again. And
he will.
To this point, they've raised more than $750,000 and given it all away. 12 days riding 2,000 miles from Mexico to Canada They got it done. Tremendous, tremendous job by Matt King. And thanks to everybody who has supported his fantastic mission. Love the ride. TheRideProject.com. You can still donate if you would like. AVConsultations.com. Yes. The best in the business. 512-255-8678. You know, Wags is going to jump on the show in the not-too-distant future. Wags has the cool AV consultation set up, as do you and I. If you want to upgrade your home TV situation, reach out to our great friend Tom McKay and his great team at Audiovisual Consultations. 512-255-8678. Go to AVConsultations.com. They've been hooking up the area for almost 40 years. They've been around longer than I've been alive. TVs, surround sound speakers, lighting, surveillance cameras. They can put a golf simulator in your home. Any of the fun toys to make your home a more fun place to live. AV Consultations, they got you covered. The best prices, the best service, the best people, the best technology, the best everything. Audio Visual Consultations.
Love them.
All right, little NBA Finals conversation, Buck.
Yes. First of all, let these people know that I made them some money. Sorry about that, New York fans. But I Spurs fans. I had the Knicks the other day, did I not?
You did?
Yes.
You had
the Knicks. I know what I'm doing now.
Covering the 6.5-point line in game two. Not only did they cover, but they obviously won again in San Antonio. 105-104, the game two final back on Friday. It was like it's
yeah, I told you, if I hear another Spurs fan or another Spurs player tell me, hey, we just had to play our game. Let me help you. Your game ain't good enough right now. You can play your game, but it's not good enough to beat the Knicks. So quit saying all we have to do is be ourselves, play our game. You better try another strategy. That one ain't working.
Well, they've been close.
Oh, we're giving out ribbons now?
Wow. I'm saying they've been close. It's not like they're getting blown out in these games to where they need to totally flip everything that they're doing on its head. But yeah, clearly what they're doing is not good enough because they're not winning any games. And they just became the third team in finals history to lose their first two games at home. Doesn't happen very often. And by the way, the first two teams that did that, they did not go on to win the series.
Oh, no, that generally doesn't happen.
No. There have been five teams in NBA history who have overcome a 2-0 finals deficit to win the series, but none of those five teams lost their first two games at home. They lost them on the road, and then they returned home and got back in the series. So the Spurs are trying to do something, Buck, that has never been done before.
Well, hey, guess what? It's never going to be done now. No.
You know, I asked you on Friday if you felt like game two was a must win for the Spurs, and you said yes. Obviously, they didn't win. So I think I know your answer here, but game three tonight, a must win for the Spurs, correct?
It's a must win that they're not going to win. With all the craziness and all the, you know, I keep hearing people talk about how relaxed the Spurs should be going on the road. There's less hassle on the road. And the real pressure will be on the Knicks because of all the craziness that'll be at Madison Square Garden. It's Madison Square Garden. They got movie stars and people there all the time. It's not like it's something new, you know, that Spike Lee shows up, you know, Adam Sandler and all the other folks that go there. It's nothing new for them. This is a normal game for them. And they're playing that way.
I mean, the president's going to be there. I don't know if that's normal for them.
Well,
they do have a lot of celebrities at MSG, a lot, but this is the first home finals game for them since 1999. This is a little different than your run-of-the-mill game at the Garden.
Oh, so the pressure's on the Knicks then.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's going to be an insane atmosphere. I mean, tickets for regular season Knicks games don't go for $10,000. Like, that's the get-in price for this game. That's not like courtside seats.
It's going up on the rafters. Last Thursday was like nine. It's up to 10 grand.
Oh, it's insane. Absolutely insane. And I think for the Spurs, like, I don't want to say it's a good thing that they're going on the road, but my God, I mean, it's bad enough and humiliating enough to lose the first two games on your home floor. Those weren't even home games for the Spurs. There were so many Knicks fans there.
I know.
Like, I feel bad. San Antonio, blue collar town. They don't make as much money as they do in New York. And on the resale market, the Knicks fans are paying whatever they needed to pay to go. There's so many New York fans in both of those games in San Antonio. So at least they won't have that.
Hey, Wimby, try not to throw the ball away at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know,
that was how game two ended.
Try to be clutch. Try to be the superstar that's clutch and not unclutch.
Brutal. Brutal. I mean, Wimby had a really rough game one, and he played a lot better in game two. But obviously, in the biggest moment of the game, you know, game's tied in the final 10 seconds. The Spurs get a stop. Wimby gets the defensive rebound and, you know, started to dribble it up the floor and then tried to pass it to Stephon Castle and threw it off his back. And not only that, to add insult to injury, after he turns it over, he fouls Jalen Brunson. And Brunson makes the go-ahead free throw that ended up being the game-winning free throw. And Wimby had a great look at the buzzer. Spurs had, 7 seconds? They take a timeout. They draw up a play. Wimby gets a clean look at the elbow. He's taller than everybody else on the floor, so he's got a good look, and he misses it. So just a brutal, like, three bad plays in a row for Wimby. After the Spurs, they were down 14 with 6 minutes left. They fought all the way back. They even took a lead in the final minute. They did all that work to get in the game and have a chance to win, and then Wimby literally threw it away.
Yeah, I got a feeling if you know, the Spurs have been getting out of some nice little leads, you know, BK. I don't think they'll get it. If they don't get out to a lead in Madison Square Garden, I think the Knicks may have a runaway tonight.
Well, you're going to see another level of desperation from the Spurs. I mean, they were desperate in game two and they couldn't get it done. So I don't know what that's worth, but there's never been a team in any playoff series in the NBA who has come from a 3-0 series deficit to win. Obviously, if the Knicks win tonight, the conversation is going to be about sweeping. It's not going to be about the Spurs coming back to win the series. So any chance they have to actually get this done, I think, starts this evening. The Knicks are 2.5-point favorites. It's the first game in this series where New York is favored. Do you have a gold star lock?
Yeah, I have a 200,000 unit play on the Knicks tonight in Madison Square Garden. Yeah,
because 200,000 units.
Yeah, I'm feeling the brooms may come out on this one.
Oof. All right. Well, maybe the Spurs have a chance now.
No. You know what? If they just play their game, they'll lose by one or two. What's the line now? Two and a half. Okay, if they just play their game, their regular game where they turn the ball over and just hand it to the guys, they'll lose by four. That'll be enough for a 200,000 unit play, though. Yes.
Okay. You know what? You're lucky because I just refreshed the line. I'm seeing 1.5 now. So you get a little more leeway with your Knicks pick, sir.
Make that 250 now.
250,000 units. Hey, you need it. You're down 500K in the NBA and NHL playoffs. So you need to start figuring it out because we're running out of games here.
I'm still saying you forgot on Friday that I took the Golden Knights.
I'll check the tape.
I think we have to check the tape. I think I did take the Golden Knights. I did not take the Golden Knights in over, but I took the Golden Knights because they're about to have a sweep in their deal too.
That's impossible considering Carolina's already won a game.
That's 1-1. That's a 2-1. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a 2-1 series. A little bit of sound from Mitch Johnson here, the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He was asked how his team can turn things around in this series.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a stage now where the next game is going to be the biggest game until we're not playing. And we have to continue to execute and compete and finish plays and move on to the next play and understand that, you know, there are going to be circumstances, there are going to be outcomes throughout a game that may not go your way, and we have to continue to be better at the things that we can control and be better at the things that we can influence.
I like that. He didn't happen to say we just have to be who we are. That didn't come up. That's for the players to say, just be us. No, you're not good enough. You got to be somebody else. You got to be Jordan, Wimby. That's who you have to be. You have to be a superstar that you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Wimby, like, Jalen Brunson has not had two great games in this series. Like, he has not shot the ball well at all. And the Spurs deserve a lot of credit for that. It's one of the best defensive teams in the league. They have been all year. But in crunch time, Jalen Brunson's making the plays.
He doesn't pass the ball. You don't pass the ball in crunch time.
In crunch time, Wemby's not. Like, you need your superstars to be your superstars. There have been big the Spurs have led in the final minute of both of these games. And I guess it was final 2 minutes in game one, but they led in the final minute of game two. They've been right there. And one superstar stepping up and the other superstar, not so much. And I get it. Wemby's only 22. Year three in the league. If things go right, he'll have other opportunities. But all we have is the here and now. And he is not making winning plays for his team. And the other superstar is. And Karl Anthony Towns is the MVP so far through two games.
There's no doubt. He's the best big man on the court.
Yeah, he has been getting the better of Victor Wembanyama, which obviously could not have happened for the Spurs to win this series. And it's happened to this point.
Yep, you're absolutely right. So it was good to see Fox showed up on Friday, though.
Yeah, nice bounce back for De'Aaron Fox, who was miserable in game one. But that's the tough part for the Spurs is, like, he played better. Wemby did play better as well. And, you know, Dylan Harper played more minutes. Like, I think Mitch Johnson did just about everything he could have done. I was very critical of him after game one for some of the decisions he made. He adjusted. I thought he was a lot better, but still not enough.
That's what I said. You can't be yourselves. You got to be somebody. Hey, Wemby, you have to be Jordan. Wemby's that's who you need to be. Jordan.
Yeah. Yes. The Spurs have to win four of the next five, obviously.
Yourself is not good enough right now.
Hey, look who it is, Buck. You're bailing out early today for a doctor's appointment. Look who's coming to say hi to you for a second. It's the great.
What's happening, brother?
Hey, Buck. Thank you so much. But I wasn't able to stick around for the ceremony and stuff at the Mullet Open. But thank you so much for that spot. I mean, it meant a lot to me, man. It meant a lot to my friend, too. We had a great time. Didn't play well. Did not go how I thought it was going to go. But thank you so much. I hope we get to do it again, man.
There's a lot of hope there. There's a lot of talk going on, Wags, but I'm gonna relax here for a month or so and then give it some thought. Well, right now, the way my thought process is that you will be at a bowling tournament May 15th next year, probably, or something.
Oh, you're gonna switch the Mullet Open to the Island Lanes?
Hold on, what are they? Oh, yeah, they got the two best burgers down there, man. They got the dude in the water.
Ooh, now you're talking. Maybe there is some real thought going on. Wags, all right, boys, I got to head on off and go see the doc.
See you, bud.
Texas Orthopedics. See you, boys. Sir.
Wags, I think you got a little echo. I think, like, your mic is not plugged in or connected. I think you're talking through your computer instead of your mic because I know how good you usually sound on this thing. So we'll double check that. But the great Adam Wagner, a.k.a. Wags, you can follow him on Twitter, at NotTheFakeWags.
Does it sound a little better now?
There you go. That's Crystal.
Oh,
clear.
My guy.
That's what we're looking for. My guy. It's great to see you again. Yeah, last time I saw you, we were doing a lot better drinking than playing at the Mullet Open a couple of weeks
ago. I think that's what happened, right? Like, it's a scramble. So the pace of play is going to be about 10 to 15 minutes, and you can't really get into a groove, but you can get into another type of groove, right? So by hole two, I was done. I couldn't see, and I'm not a big drinker, man. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. So, like, hold, we're sitting here doing, Rodney's getting the cart girl to do shots with us, too. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, you had a Marine buddy there. He was the fourth in our foursome, and he was really getting after it.
He was ripped. He was ripped. Yeah.
And he's an influence on me. I'm like, well, I'm not going to let this guy drink alone. Come on. I support our troops, the military and the Girl Scouts. If any of them ever want to drink, I'm going to drink with them, all right? That's who I am.
That's all that. Hey, we appreciate service and support. It goes hand in hand, brother. But how's everybody doing, man?
Yeah, man, it's great. We're doing great. It's great to see you. Obviously, our audience super excited to hear your voice. And thanks for spending some time with us. And, you know, I guess we were talking NBA Finals. I know you've been paying attention. We'll get to some hockey. I know you've been locked into the Stanley Cup Final. And
Texas. It's the best. Like, I know football is the money driver. Yeah. But, like, this is – I mean, it's arguably some of the best times of sports, right? Like, it's kind of like Christmas, dude.
You're right. No, this is like 2 to 3 week stretch where, and obviously it helps when your teams are involved. Like, sure. Texas softball going to the Women's College World Series makes me care a heck of a lot more. Texas baseball going back to the College World Series makes me care a heck of a lot more. But obviously with the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, and you've got you know, the Belmont Stakes and Major Golf and the French Open. Like, there is – it ain't the dog days yet. We'll get to the dog days.
You got TWW International kicking off its inaugural tour?
There we go. I mean, there's something for everybody right now. Crazy. Crazy. But, yeah, man, I mean, we'll get to all of it or as much as we can here down the stretch. But NBA Finals, like – I don't know who you had before this thing.
I had Spurs in six.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. And it's still possible, but obviously it doesn't look very possible right now. Your biggest takeaways from the first two games, and can San Antonio get back into this thing? Or do you think this is going to be a pretty short series?
I think the matchup that I thought was going to be dominated has just been absolutely reversed, right? Like, I thought Wemby would be dominating Cat. You know, Cat likes to play on the perimeter, and so does Wemby for that matter, but I think Wemby's more efficient on the perimeter than Cat, right? Cat's been playing his ass off, dude. And not just on the offensive front, too, but on the defense, too. And it's the little things, too, the little chips, right? It's not just Cat, it's the entire Knicks squad, right? And watch tonight, too. You'll probably see it tonight, especially in New York, right? Watch them as they go down. They get little you know, opportunities to kind of just put a little nudge on Wemby, just to kind of bruise him up a little bit. He might be tall, man, but he's still frail, dude. He's still a little bit skin and bones there. I think that's taking its toll, man. Not so much towards the beginning of the game, but in the latter portions of the game, like when it's clutch time, dude. I think it's kind of been affecting him, man. And of course, I'm kind of reaching for something here. It's kind of like a back burner Spurs fan here. Like, nobody wants to see the Knicks win. Like, as a Wizards fan, I just can't root for the Knicks, man. I got a friend that's very obnoxious, and of course, if the Knicks win, he's just never going to shut the hell up. It's what it's been, and to the Knicks' credit, dude, what's it been, like a month and a half since they lost or something?
13.
Like, they've been on a tear, man. They've been on a roll. So you said the stat. I'll kind of echo the stat too. It's very hard to come back if they lose tonight. It's very hard to come back from a deficit like this, and it's already 2-0. It's one hell of a hill to climb up. So. We'll see, man. 2-0 is a tough hill, man. But yeah, if anybody can do it, it's probably the Spurs, fan. But like you said, the star's got a star.
Yeah, and it's a tough matchup. I mean, the Knicks did win two of the three regular season meetings between these two teams. And I know the NBA Cup is what it is, but like, that was a game that both teams were trying very hard, and the Knicks got the better of the Spurs. So, yeah, sometimes it's just a bad matchup. Like, San Antonio dominated just about every other team, including the Thunder, in the regular season, but they had a losing record against the Knicks, and clearly the Knicks do some things that San Antonio can't quite figure out right now.
Do you feel like we're kind of seeing like a little bit of the variation of when Boston, you know, when they swept through the entire East kind of unchecked, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, they get to the finals very rested, you know, untested, very rested, and then all of a sudden they, you know, they get to a very battled and battered, who the hell, Mavericks team, right?
Mavs.
The Mavericks,
yeah.
Are they not? Yeah. Mavs squad, and, you know, the Mavs were probably playing, you know, above and beyond of their squad at that time or their potential. But I just think it's kind of taking a little bit of the variation like that. Like, whether it was going to be Oklahoma City or it was going to be San Antonio, I thought both squads were just going to be battered in a – You know,
yeah,
that's a very fair question. I think it would be a little bit of an advantage for the Knicks.
Yeah, there's clearly no rust with the Knicks, right? The whole rest versus rust debate, the rest has definitely helped them. And yeah, look, they've had a much easier path to get here. There's no doubt, but you obviously have to give him credit, like back-to-back sweeps. Like, they earned it. And I know people kind of dunked on their Philly series, right? And it's like, well, Philly had just beaten Boston, who like everybody had as the favorite in the East going into the playoffs.
Here.
So yeah, I did too. I thought Boston for sure was coming out of the East. And like, I'll give Philly credit. I know they're the seventh seed, but like, that was a good Sixers team that New York had zero problem with whatsoever. And Cleveland, they just beaten the number one seed in the East in a game seven on the road. Like, that's a solid team right there, and they swept them. So yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of it. And also, and this goes along with what you're saying, Wags, like, I mean, Wemby said it after game two, the Spurs got too high after beating Oklahoma City. They did. And I didn't think it bothered them. I did ask the question, like, will it bother them? But again, I picked San Antonio to win, so I didn't think it would. But they were crying on the floor in Oklahoma City after that game seven. They were hugging each other. They were crying. Sure. And that's fine. Be emotional. Well, that's a huge win for you. It's a big deal beating that team and a big deal getting to the finals. But Wimby himself admitted it, like, they got a little too high after that series win, and they haven't been able to come down, and they haven't been the same team that they were. So the combination of those two things, the rest and just the emotion that went into the Western Conference Finals, I think it's catching up to them.
You just said it right there. I think you and I both, we always talk about this, right? The emotions are so draining, right? Like, you climb so vigorously to get to the top of the mountain, then all of a sudden it's just a natural letdown once you get there, right? Like, it's a natural letdown. You let your guard down, you're vulnerable, and maybe the Knicks are just taking advantage of that. Hopefully the Spurs wake up, because I'm cheering for the black and silver, man. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah.
It's like, which team do I want to win the least, right? And I'll take Spurs over the Knicks for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks, they're already obnoxious. They haven't even won it yet.
Won a damn thing, man. You know what I mean? And they're
after every win, if you're on social media, these videos are finding you. They're just going nuts in the streets of New York City.
I mean, they're entertaining. It's hilarious, but it's still like, every time I see them, I'm like, thank God I'm not in New York.
Spurs fans are insane. They just drive around after every Spurs win, honking their horns with the car flags going. I mean, they're just going crazy at the Riverwalk. It's two great fan bases, right? Like, obviously around here, a lot of people root for the Spurs, and I think nationally more people are rooting for the Spurs than the Knicks.
I think so too, right?
But for the Knicks, it's been a long time. They haven't won one since 73.
Like, I know it's been a long time for the Knicks, and people want to see the Knicks kind of back. And I'll be honest with you, I think the NBA is a lot better when the Knicks are winning. It's fun. It's a big city. It's a big market, and a lot of energy comes out of that, right? But also, like, I think the nostalgia of Pop and seeing Tim Duncan in the in the stands, and then having the new era of Mitch John. I mean, it's just, to me, it's the new era, sure, but it's also like, it's the reminiscence of nostalgia too. Like, to see that, and then I'm okay with that than seeing the New York Knicks. That's for sure.
Right. And look, the easy thing to say is, the Spurs can lose this, whatever, they'll be back, no problem. But you never know.
Hard.
You just never know, right? When Oklahoma City won it last year, they were such a heavy favorite to repeat this year. And everybody was anointing them, even going into the Spurs series. They were heavy favorites in that one. Like, you just never know, right? Boston, when they beat the Mavs 2 years ago, it's like, oh my God, the Celtics might rip off three or four of these. They haven't been to the finals since. Denver, when they won it in 2023.
Bro, Denver, like, Joker, Denver's going to go on a run.
Yeah, you got Joker, you got Jamal Murray. It's like, oh, that's a young team, and they're really good, and they're about to rile off a few of these things, right? It's like, Milwaukee with Giannis, when they won their first, you never know. Look, I would bet
Minnesota,
on the Spurs.
Like, Minnesota's, I think you said Minnesota, right?
But I didn't, because they haven't been to the finals, but they've been close.
They got to be coming up soon. Like, it's an arms race, to your point. It's an arms race. Like, somebody's got to be coming up next. So
it's, you want to strike while the iron's hot. I do think the Spurs will get back here multiple times with this young core, but it's no guarantee. So that's why this one would stink so much if San Antonio's not able to claw back.
So, you know what's kind of been a shock from, like, we mentioned Karl Anthony Towns, right? But also, like Castle was so dominating. And I kind of talked about this on Sport of Life with Trey and Zay, right? Like, Castle was so dominating with the Oklahoma City, series. Like, held, I don't know if that was just SGA being so tired and being in just missing and being inefficient. But it looked like Castle's defense was taking a toll on it, too. Like, you'd think that. You'd think that Castle would kind of be, imposing his will on defensively in this series too. Maybe it's just too early in the series yet for that to happen. But yeah. I mean, it's something has to happen soon, because the matchups that I thought were going to be dominated on the Spurs end, it's just been flipped on the Knicks end. So
yeah,
it's just,
give the Knicks credit, man. I mean, that's look, those guys have been playing together for a long time. Hell, a bunch of those guys played together in college. So their chemistry is very, very good. Mike Brown's doing a tremendous job in his first year as the head coach. And I'm picking the Spurs to win this game tonight, but you heard my sigh. I don't feel very good about it. I don't know how you can feel very good about it. Even if the Spurs have a big lead, you can't feel good about it, because they've blown big leads in both games so far. So it's, I'm picking San Antonio to win this one and at least give us something to talk about moving forward. But I don't feel good about it, clearly.
No, I'm there with you. It's kind of like the analogy, like you're at the roulette table, like, well, it's hit red, you know, for 10 turns now. It's got to hit black soon,
yeah,
right?
Like, we're due, right? We're due.
Black, so.
Oh, Spurs are too good to get swept, aren't they? Maybe it's just wishful thinking.
Like, it's got to land on black tonight.
Yeah, you think. So we'll see. 7:30 tonight, game 3 of the NBA Finals. Can the Spurs get off the schneid and get back in this series and at least plant a little seed of doubt in the Knicks fans and in the Knicks locker room, more importantly? But wow, what a start to this one. I mean, we've had 2 great finals games in the NBA. We've had 3 great finals games in the NHL, and both teams have won. Vegas leading Carolina 2-1 in the best of 7 in the Stanley Cup final. I mean,
might be the best NHL finals we've seen in a while, right?
I mean, it's the best first 3 games. The hope is we get 4 more of these, sure, and then it could go down as the best Cup final we've ever had. But, man, game 3 on Saturday, God, I hope y'all were watching. I know you were. I know I was. I told people after game 1.
I hope you've been watching all 3 games, honestly.
Of course. I tell people, like, after game 1, watch this, thank me later. After game 2, if you still haven't started watching this, watch this, thank me later. I'll say it again.
You're dedicating 2.5 hours. Sometimes you might have to do 3 with overtime, right?
I have to watch overtime playoff hockey. What am I going to do? It's been amazing. In game 3 on Saturday, Vegas jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the fortress at home. You know, Carolina in the second intermission, they change goalies, right? They pull Freddie Anderson. They're basically saying, we're punting on game 3. We don't care. We're going to lose this one. It sucks. We'll bounce back in game 4 on Tuesday.
We're just trying to get our goalies' head right. That's
just give them some rest. We'll get them right, whatever. And then Carolina rips off 4 unanswered in the third period to tie the game. They force overtime. We go to a double overtime. And how about a unbelievably lucky bounce and an unbelievably unlucky bounce? Obviously for Vegas, lucky. Sure. For Carolina, unlucky. Shea Theodore just throws one off the backboards. It takes a crazy carom and it hits off of the Carolina netminder Brandon Bussey's leg and goes into the net, and Vegas wins. But, I mean, insane, dude. Insane how good these games have been so far.
And that's just it. Like, we're getting like 4-5, 6-5. We're getting high goal games, right? With 2 very defensive minded and just disciplined teams, right? And you're seeing lines 3 and 4, you know, come up and start. And that's just it. Like, honestly, you know, what is the X factor in a Stanley Cup champion? It's when all 4 lines can play. When 1 through 12 can skate well, and they're all in chemistry for a while, and everybody's just skating, you know, at a very high level, and obviously good net minding, right? Like, it just starts to flow together. That's what you're seeing from Vegas. But you're also seeing it from Carolina, which is just crazy, man.
It's crazy. I mean, you said it. You hit the nail on the head. Like, these are 2 of the best defensive teams in the league all season and in the postseason. And, I mean, maybe you just credit the offenses. They're so good. But we're seeing defensive breakdowns and lapses. And the goalies are not performing as well as they did going into this final. So, we've seen a little bit of everything. I mean, game 1. You know, Carolina jumped out to an early 2-0 lead. Vegas comes back to win it 5-4. Game 2, Carolina comes back. They were down 2-0. They win it in overtime 4-3. And then game 3 just got even better with a 4-goal comeback and then double overtime. What are we going to get in game 4? Triple overtime?
Watch this be a 1-0 game, right?
I mean,
I wouldn't care. I honestly wouldn't care.
If it is 1-0, I'm going to assume it's 4 overtimes to get to that 1.
And love him, dude, love him or hate him. I can't stand the guy, but Torts, dude, he just, wherever he goes, he just generates offense, man. Like, and not that Vegas needed any help, right? But like, it's Stone's gearing up at the right time. And I can't stand Tortorella. Like, I don't know. I'd probably have a good time drinking with him. But when you're looking across at the other side of the glass, he's just somebody that you probably just want to punch in the face, right? Not, right? That's just the vibe. But I get that from Brindamore too. you know? So, I mean, I'd rather be talking with Brendan Moore than Torts. So,
okay. It's
just a testament to wherever Torts goes, man. His teams are always contending.
Yeah. Vegas fired its coach with like a month left in the regular season. And now they're two wins away from another cup final. Their second, I should say another Stanley Cup. Obviously they're already in the final, their second Stanley Cup in 9 years as a franchise. I can't stand them because they've suffered no pain, no misery.
It's been eight years playoffs, right?
Yeah, eight out of the nine years they made the playoffs. They've been to the final three times. Bring Torts into
an organization like this, and this is what you get.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. So we'll see. Game three tomorrow night. But wow, it's a spectacular theater. Game four tomorrow night. Spectacular theater in the first three games of this series. All right, a couple of quick spots.
They've all been one-goal games, right?
Yes. 5-4, 4-3 in overtime, 5-4 in double overtime.
Gotcha.
All one-goal games. Crazy. All right, we will get to more on the Brendan Sorsby thing. Definitely want to get Wags' thoughts on that ruling that came down today that is sending shockwaves through the college football world. Real quick, though, a couple of sponsor shout outs. Early Bird CBD. Oh man, absolutely love the Early Bird products. You know, my girlfriend, she was back home last week and she took some Early Bird gummies to her family. They loved them. Like we trust these things. Bucky and I are big Early Bird users. We've got our friends, we've got our families, we've got friends' families in on the Early Bird products. If you haven't tried this stuff yet, you are missing out. Of course, the gummies are fantastic. They've got the drops as well. You just drop a couple of these into any drink that you're drinking here in the summertime, whether it's an alcoholic beverage or just a juice or a tonic or a sparkling water, whatever. And you're going to get the great effects of CBD, but you're also going to get a little micro dose of THC. I know Wags is a big THC guy. Early Bird's got you that micro dose, so you're going to be feeling good when you take these products. I use it at the end of a long day to just relax, to unwind, and to get a great night's sleep. The Buck uses it to help with his back pain, playing a round of golf, whatever the reason. We think y'all are going to love the Early Bird products. Use the promo code Bucky at earlybirdcbd.com. You're going to get 20% off your first order. We're going to give away some Early Bird products later in the week as well. So make sure you're tuned in for your chance to win. But we love this stuff. Plenty of y'all have been commenting too, saying you've tried it and you've loved it as well. Get you some at earlybirdcbd.com. And a quick shout out to our friends at Qualis Roofing. We've had a lot of rain, more of it over the weekend. Keep telling y'all, it's not just hail that can damage your roof. The rain, heavy winds, flying debris that you might not see, that can damage your roof. Call on our friends at Qualis. They will come out to your place for free. Seriously, no risk involved. You want that peace of mind. You want to make sure that there's not going to be a big leak the next time it rains here in Central Texas. Qualis Roofing and Construction, they've been around. They are going to stay around. They're not a fly-by-night company. Tons of five-star reviews online. They do the very best work for both residential and commercial roofs. Their customer service is second to none. These guys aren't just door knockers who are just trying to get some money out of you. Their customer service, their communication is ridiculously good. Fantastic people who do fantastic work. QualisGC.com, that's their website, or you can give them a call at 512-257-0033. All right, we've got Adam Wagner, a.k.a. Wags, filling in for the Buck here on a Monday edition of the program. Wags, we talked about this earlier in the show. A big ruling out of Lubbock County regarding Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby. He has been ruled eligible for the 2026 season. He's been granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA, which will allow him to play in the upcoming 2026 college football season. Obviously, this has been the story of the offseason.
You can't withhold a student athlete from practicing, playing, or participating.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's what it is. I mean, that is what it is.
Who is Ken Curry, and is he a Red Raider alumni, and how much oil stock does this judge have?
Yeah, that's where my mind went. So it's interesting. So the initial judge assigned to this case, not Ken Curry, I don't remember this guy's name. The initial judge assigned to the case was a double Texas Tech grad. So he went to undergrad there and he went to law school there.
Okay.
Sure. And it's like, well, we know which way this guy's going to rule. but he recused himself from the situation. So the next guy did not go to Texas Tech. So it's like, oh, maybe he's actually going to rule in favor of the NCAA here. Maybe he's not just going to kowtow to the Cal Tippers in Lubbock. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, how much money was this guy offered by Cody Campbell and the powers that be? We know there's a lot of money. You brought up the oil money. We know there's plenty of that in Lubbock County. I'm thinking this judge was offered a pretty penny or two to rule this in favor of Texas Tech's quarterback.
And, like, and how many of these go up to the WinStar? You know what I mean? How many of these people are frequent guests up at the WinStar too? I mean, look, so what precedent are you setting here? And you know, OU sucks kind of, you know, beat me to it, but are you saying now that gambling's legal, like we can do this now? Like,
well, the NCAA is not saying that, but they don't really have any power anymore. So what you're saying is, and this isn't the first time we've seen this in college sports, right? It's happened a decent amount over the last couple of years where if the NCAA says you can't do this and you don't like it, you could just go to your local court or your state court and say, let's just sue them and we're going to get what we want. I mean, it happened with Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss. Remember, yeah. The NCAA is like, no, we're not giving you that extra year of eligibility. They file an injunction.
Like two appeals, right? It took them two appeals, I think.
Yeah. Well, the NCAA wasn't like, you're free to go. It's the courts, which are obviously ahead of the NCAA. The government's like, you're good. You can play. So Chambliss is going to play. Same exact thing here in Lubbock County. It's like the NCAA told Texas Tech something they didn't want to hear. They ran to the courts, and the court's like, yeah, no, we'll let you play. He's eligible. No problem. Nothing to see here. So, yeah, the precedent, and it's funny, there already is a precedent, or at least there was a precedent, where it's like if you gamble on college sports, especially your own team's games, then you're out. You can't play. You're ineligible forever. And that's the precedent that's been around forever. And every college athlete, I mean, since the beginning of time, right, like they have known that they cannot bet on games. It's like the first thing they teach you when you sign the scholarship papers to go play anywhere in any sport. And that's always been the rule. But again, nowadays, you don't have to follow the rules. You just take it to court and you get what you want.
Just play the victim. Just play the victim, man.
I mean, it's a great question. Like, if you're a student athlete, you're like, what's stopping you from placing a bunch of bets on games this year? Like, what's stopping you? You're going to be allowed to play, at least you would think, sure, right? You said, if the precedent's been set, then I can do whatever the hell I want. My school will just sue on my behalf, and I'm good.
They're not going to get me till next year anyways, so.
Right, or maybe not. Or maybe they won't get me at all.
Yeah, it all just gets swept under the rug.
I know. So it's absolutely insane. I mean, it's crazy. It's really bad for the sport. It's really bad for college sports. And it's why, Wags, all these conversations are happening about conferences breaking away from the NCAA because there's just no – they don't have any power. They don't do anything. There's no rules. There's no regulations. You literally can do whatever you want in college sports right now.
I think we talked about this too, right? Like Pandora's box has been open, man. Like, and there's no close. You can't slide the lid on this bad boy. There's too much power coming out of it.
If you thought, and a lot of people like hate NIL and they hate the transfer portal. And look, it's ridiculous what those things have become. No rules, no regulations. It's been the Wild West, and it's not NIL. It's pay for play nowadays. So that's already gotten out of control. I think the problems with that kind of pale in comparison to the problem that you are now setting with something like this. And it's just amazing. Like the fact that Texas Tech, I mean, Brendan Sorsby's whole case was like, it's going to hurt him. It's going to cause irreparable damage and harm if he can't play college football. And the fact that that's what the judge ruled, saying Sorsby would suffer a probable, imminent, and irreparable injury if he doesn't get the temporary injunction to allow him to play. Like, that worked? The fact that that argument held up.
He'll financially suffer.
Exactly. The funny part, like, they didn't say, no, we found that he didn't actually bet. That was all a lie. Y'all's evidence, it's wrong. They didn't even pretend that was the case. They're literally just like.
So that's an admission, right? That just by default, is that not admission?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he broke the rules. They know he broke the rules. Everybody knows he broke the rules. He knows. Texas Tech, it's cut and dry. There's no gray area when it comes to what he did. But, oh, no, if he has to go into the NFL supplemental draft and play NFL football, it's going to ruin his life. It's going to cause damage and harm to this kid that he's never going to be able to get over. Don't you see? He's been going to treatment. He's only been going because he got caught, but he's been going to treatment. So now he's look at how good of a kid he is.
He's holding himself accountable by going to treatment. Like he's played accountability by going to treatment. He's admitted it.
There. Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course he did. And that the whole point of that was to like try to get this ruling, and it worked.
We signed a deal with Disney. We're gonna get a story about this and put it on Disney Channel, and everybody will be good.
Yeah. Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech booster and chairman of the board and the big money guy who's trying to ruin college athletics, he released a statement saying, "This unfortunate situation is the outcome of a broken system. I'm doing everything I can to fix it, but until there is a permanent solution, Texas Tech and its student athletes have to do the best they can to navigate and compete amid the chaos that exists in the reality of the world we live in," end quote. What a crock of crap from that dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing everything I can to fix it. No, you're not.
Done. What have you done there, pal?
If you're doing everything you can to fix it, you're not suing on this guy's behalf to allow him to play.
I agree it's broken. Like your first statement was a home run, but it was bull crap after that. Everything else after that was
He's not looking out for the sport. He's looking out for Texas Tech. I mean, he played there. He's the biggest donor. Like, look, he's not the only guy looking out for his school and university, but this force that I've seen forever, that I think a lot of people have seen, that a lot of people around the country have not seen, they think this guy's trying to save the sport. And thank God Cody Campbell's here. What are we going to do with that? He's going to save college football. No, he's not. This is a fan of one school who is doing what's best for his one school, and he's duped everybody into believing that, not everybody, he's duped a lot of people into thinking that he's the Messiah for college football, and thank God he's here because the sport is safe. Just like any other big money donor.
I'm not buying the brand, so.
Yeah. Broken system. How about some self-accountability there, guy? Yeah,
that does, come on. That's not happening today.
Ridiculous.
It's a lost art. Self-accountability is a lost art.
Amen. Well, what's on your mind, Wags, for the last couple of minutes here? What's sports-wise, otherwise, what you got?
Texas baseball. Of course, we got the college baseball, getting ready to wrap up. Seeing who the last couple of entries are going to be today. Are you rock chalking today? Huh?
Yeah. I mean, they're done. They're down 8-1. That game suspended in the third inning, but they got killed in game one. It's too big. The lights are too bright. Kansas has never been to a super regional. OU's really good. They beat Georgia Tech, who a lot of people thought was the best team going into this tournament. Like, they're playing great baseball. Skip Johnson, former Texas pitching coach, he's too good. Now, OU's going to win that game whenever it does resume. So it'll be Alabama's going to win too. There's going to be five SEC teams up there, Wax. Yeah.
Nuts. I think I saw the matchup correctly, right? It's going to be Texas, Georgia in game one.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of nuts. I mean, two teams playing their best ball right now. So here's the thing, right? I think a little bit of the advantage does side with Texas, and I might be, that could be my burnt orange bias coming out a little bit, right? But I do believe that the arms are on the Texas side. The arms are in favor of Texas. Volantis didn't have his best stuff, right? Somehow he struck out 10 batters, but I mean, runners left on base. That's insane. I can't believe it's a blessing that the Longhorns took game one, honestly. But like, you just can't have that. You got to have a little bit more lights out stuff going into Georgia here. Aoki didn't look that great against Mississippi State, either. So I think their arms are ready to be got as well. But right now both teams are just hitting the snot out of the ball, just tattooing the baseball here. It's going to be which team cools off first, unfortunately. And if you get game one, BK, you're able to rest. You can sit there and kind of have the arms kind of, get back to their full strength again, and then have the opposition battle all, you know, wear down their arms all throughout the loser's bracket or whatever. And then hopefully, you know, that just pays off to an advantage later on down the road.
Yeah, I know we just saw softball lose their first game and win the Women's College World Series, but they obviously had a crazy path, and it just doesn't happen very often. You don't want to play that game. You already, you know, played with fire. You touched the oven and somehow didn't get burned with softball. I don't think you're going to do that with baseball too. So, yeah, it would behoove the Longhorns to find a way to beat the SEC's best team. Georgia won regular season title and tournament title. They're the highest seeded team remain. Yeah. Now, a lot of people want to reseed, right? Because Georgia and Texas are two of the three highest seeds left in this tournament. And they're the two Vegas favorites right now to win it all.
Crazy that we're getting it in game one, man.
I know. Because you don't reseed. You keep the same bracket. So it's like you can't control what happens around the country. And there's been a lot of chaos around the country. But, yeah, it's like it's a shame because these two teams are good enough to get to the finals. And, I mean, maybe neither of them do. But, obviously, at the most, only one of them can.
Right. So, but yeah, that's what's on my mind. So, I mean, you know, Texas, it's tough to rely on the bats. I'd rather rely on the arms a lot more than the bats because the bats can go to sleep at any time.
Yeah, well, it's the matchup of all matchups, right? I think Georgia's the best hitting team left, and I think Dylan Valanthis is the best pitcher that's left. So that's, I mean, if you're a college baseball fan, it doesn't get any better than that. Valanthis against that lineup with, you know, College World Series game one on the line, that'll be fun Saturday. In Omaha.
Hopefully. Going back to Omaha, baby. Going back.
You ever been?
I have never been live. No, I have not.
I need to go at some point. I got to get there. Texas makes a run this year. I think my Omaha virginity is.
Well, you know, call me up.
All right. Noted. I definitely will.
It's only a trip up 35, right?
Yeah, it's a long way up 35, but yes.
It's 35 pretty much the entire way.
You can get on 35 anywhere you want in Austin and not leave that highway, and you will be in Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, I see a lot of the comments up in the – let me just address – hey, if you want to have a pool party, maybe we can work a contest out on Bucky and BK, right, to where, you know, some of the best fans, you know, however you show – I don't know how you gauge this, but the most spirit, the most Longhorn spirit for Bucky and BK, somehow we can maybe throw a VIP thing.
Ooh,
something like that. Right
now you're talking. Thank you for that offer.
Yeah, and otherwise you guys can find Mondays, man. You guys can find me on Sport of Life with Trey. So
that's yeah, you're with the comp. Don't be promoting the competition, sir.
I didn't know it was competition. My bad.
Competition. Come on, man. That's all right. We promote yourself. We love you. Thanks for jumping on for a few.
Hey, dude. It's too easy when we come on here, and it's too far and too few between, man. So
well, I appreciate you, brother. You're one of my best friends in this life. So thanks for being you. No. Thanks for jumping on the show, and we'll definitely make it happen again soon. Of course, we get closer to football season. We got to get you on for some fantasy talk to help.
Hey, and you don't need an invitation. You can come over here anytime.
I know. I still need to. You keep posting stuff on your socials about all the pool.
Have you seen? We got two part two holes, two part twos.
I know. In the pool, right? Like floating pool holes?
One's a floating hole, and then the hole one, you got to hit over the water hazard, over the pool to get to the green on the backside. And then once you get there, you got to come to the other hole two. It's a par two, and you got to chip on.
You're turning into Jim Nance with the golf course in your backyard, sir.
Welcome, friends. Wire International.
Thank you, sir. All right, great stuff, my man. Thanks for having me, dude. Yeah, of course. Appreciate everybody tuning in. The Buck and I will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Y'all have a great Monday, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Hook 'em.